Okay, we're continuing on, looking at the life and the story of Rahab. Much there. And I'm kind of looking over it again this morning. I just don't think I'm even finished today, so we'll pick up again the week I get back, maybe. And we were talking about Rahab, and it kind of brought to mind, that just as I was standing here, I don't know why I didn't think about it before, something I shared in the fellowship this morning. But I came across the meme that I put out there and didn't make everybody happy. But I'm not too terribly concerned about that. And I think it really applies to Rahab when we think about it. But there's a picture here. It looks like probably a veterans gathering. All these men, flags and Legion and Marine Corps Association hats and all these things and hands on their hearts and whatever. And here's what it says. It says, the government is corrupt. What should we do? I know. Let's pledge allegiance to it. And you see, that's where we are today. And even folks in the SCV and these other movements, the Sons of Confederate Veterans and other movements, that ought to know better. Oh, let's say it. Let's pledge to it. You know that pledge, and I didn't mean to go there, but I'm going a little bit. That pledge was written by a liberal, anti-Southern, Yankee socialist, Francis Bellamy. He was a liberal of liberal back then. Even the Northern Baptists were liberal. He was so bad, the Northern Baptists were liberal. Eventually, they threw him out of his church. He, along with his cousin, teaching things about Christ being a socialist and whatever. He's the fellow that wrote that pledge that they say every day in schools. That people make such a big to-do about. Some of these folks got with me, oh yeah, but we're just we're pledging to the Republic like it was, you know, that with the founders, and it all changed in 1861. He wrote that pledge at the end of the 19th century, like in 1898. So I had nothing to do with it. Whatever he's talking about, that republic's not the one that the founders had, and the one that ceased in 1861. Well, my point in that leads me into Rahab. She was a Canaanite, right? She was a citizen of the Canaanites. Her king was the Canaanite king. But the Lord opened her eyes and her heart. And she became a citizen of a different country. Mm-hmm. And when the time came, she sought to protect those Israelite spies that came to her. Now here was a woman. Not only was she a Canaanite, she was a harlot. Not someone we would have high hopes for if we were to meet her. We would think, you know, this person, oh, I don't have anything to do with her. She's a reprobate, but she wasn't. She was a child of God. You didn't know that. I didn't know that. The folks out there did. But she did after the Lord opened her eyes and hearts. And the Lord knew that from before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
And so these past several weeks, we've been looking at this narrative as it unfolds. And these spies come in to check out the land. They come into Rahab's house. And close as we can think of it, probably something like the old Western saloons. You know, they had places where people could stay, could sleep. They were like hotels, but most of them were also houses of ill repute. Those dance hall girls just didn't dance. But anyway, the Lord did a work in her heart. She came to recognize the people of God. She came to recognize the God of Israel. And when the time came, she showed that, what God had done in her life, by taking a stand with the people of God. By being willing to mislead the authorities. I'm sure some folks would have called her a traitor, you know, like they called General Lee and General Stuart, good godly men who were fighting for home and country and for God. Or as my ancestor said on his battle flag, God and our rights. Some preachers, you know, castigate. Some of them try to explain away, you know, her background, but she really can't do it. I'd rather consider God's grace. Mm-hmm. And some people try to explain away her background, and other folks castigate her as a great sinner for misleading the authorities. Interesting thing is, the scriptures never do that. She is lauded for her actions. God had done a work in her heart. How do you show that except externally? Would she have shown the work of God in her heart if she just turned over the Israeli spies to the Canaanites? One passage, and maybe we'll come back to it again, but in Hebrews 11 we see where Rahab's, we're not left to speculate about this. Here's what Paul said in Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. She was lauded for her actions. She was commended for her actions. She was commended for the exercise of that God-given faith that she had received. And of course, James in his epistle again mentions Rahab. The external actions that she took that justified her, not before God, she was already justified from eternity because she was in Christ, but justified her before men and in her own heart. James says in James 2:24, ye see then how that work by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Genuine faith brings forth godly works. That's the only way it's manifested. We're not justified by our works before God, but we are justified by our works before men, and to some extent in our own hearts, because we see what God's worked in our life and what He's brought forth in our lives. I mean, how else, again, would she manifest her devotion to Jehovah? What, by turning over Jehovah's people to these wicked pagan Canaanites to be slaughtered? Well, that's not what Paul thought under the inspiration of the Spirit. That's not what James thought under the inspiration of the Spirit. And brethren, we brought out a point, and I'm going to run over it again. We'll eventually get finished with this, but listen, folks say, well, but she lied. I don't think folks understand what's involved here. She deceived wicked men. She deceived evil men. Do you owe truth to a murderer? A man comes to your door and he says, I'm going to murder your family. Where are they? You've got them hidden away. Are you obligated to tell him the truth? No. You're obligated to protect your family. You're obligated to stand for the truth and for the right. You don't owe thieves like the federal government. Anyhow, they think you do, and they'll put you in jail. I understand that. Sometimes we just have to do that to maintain little bit of, I don't even like to call it freedom, whatever, that we have. And we looked at a couple examples, and I won't go into all of those again now, but I'll mention them. Remember, Elisha deceived the Syrian army. God blinded him, and he said, I know who you're looking for, and I'll take you to him. But that ain't what happened. Was Elisha a sinner? Was he guilty of lying? The Hebrew midwives didn't murder the Hebrew male children. Pharaoh, the big boss, had told them to do so. Those folks that a lot of these, oh, you got to obey the government. They didn't obey the government. In Exodus 1, I won't even read the whole passage here, but the midwives, we read in verse 17 of Exodus 1, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king's, the Pharaoh says, you know, what's happening here? What did you do? Why didn't you do what I told you to? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. And they are lively, and they are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. And then we see, God honored that. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. We don't owe truth to the murderer so that he can pursue his crime. Now, set it in context before we go on to where we left off, hopefully next week or someplace thereabouts. I'm not saying that justifies what today is called situational ethics. You know, that you can lie whenever it suits you, or you can lie whenever it's to your benefit. That's not what we're talking about at all. The scripture says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Those whom we owe truth to. We owe truth to God. We owe truth to our spouse, with no exception. We owe truth to our Christian brothers and sisters that we covenant with. We owe truth, I think, to those that we voluntarily associate ourselves with, like I do with our brethren at Free Florida First and other such things. But we're not obligated to be truthful to an alien invader, to tyrannical government, to criminals. There's a side note to that again. You have to use discernment. That's what the Lord was talking about. That's what Paul talks about when he's rendered unto Caesar. You understand they got the power. They got God's put them there, so you have to realize these things. You have to deal with discernment. The Lord says, render to Caesar's what Caesar's. Will you tell me what belongs to Caesar that doesn't belong to God? Could somebody explain that to me? You see, the Lord often talked to his detractors in such a way. They wouldn't really understand what he's talking about. Render to Caesar's what Caesar's. Render to God's what God's. Brother, that's everything. Our Baptist forebears in the original fight for American independence had a saying, you know, that resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Mm-hmm. And so Rahab was an example of that. By faith, that's what the scripture says, She deceived the king of Jericho. By faith, the midwives misled the Pharaoh. Now, it would have been a whole lot easier in both of those cases. It would have been a whole lot less risky for them to just give these wicked rulers what they wanted, to just do what they were told. Again, we look at folks who, places like Nazi Germany, and there were folks who stood up. Mm-hmm. But so many just went along. They just went along. You know how many Jews Hitler killed? As far as I know, none. No. It was good, obedient German citizens that killed the Jews. It was good, obedient German citizens that obeyed the man in power, this tyrant. Again, it's like, you know, how many babies did Pharaoh kill? Or how many babies did Herod kill? They didn't kill any. Oh, they're accountable. Don't get me wrong. They're going to answer. No, it was good, obedient Canaanites and good, obedient Egyptians that did these things. Romans. We need to think some of these things through, I think. We need to be careful. You know, where we're standing, who we align with. And as I said, we have no king but Christ. Not that we shouldn't get along with people, not that we shouldn't. Brother, we need to have some things clear in our minds. Well, we already spoke of Rahab, and we brought up last week someone similar, and I'll just mention that in passing, because the Lord did this work in Rahab's life. Rahab didn't just decide, well, I'm going to start being a believer in Jehovah. Yeah. She raised in paganism. She's a harlot, and she gets up one morning and says, I want to decide for God. That's what all these Arminians want you to believe. We read of another woman, perhaps not in human terms, externally and in the same situation as Rahab, but a lost sinner, nevertheless. Acts 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, and we talked about how Rahab had flax on her rooftop. She may have well been a dealing in linens, just like Lydia did. But we have no reason to think that Lydia dealt in some of the other things that Rahab did. But and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, people beg people to open their hearts to the Lord. It doesn't work that way. The Lord opens the heart. Amen. And until he does it, you can beg and plead till you're blue in the face. It's to them, it's foolishness, it's a stumbling stone, it's something they cannot perceive. God revealed himself to Rahab. We don't know all the details of it, but again, part of what we've been reading here in Joshua. She says in verse 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord, L-O-R-D in all caps, and if you don't have a King James Bible, it doesn't distinguish. But when you see L-O-R-D in all caps, That means the underlying word there is Jehovah. Doesn't matter which Bible you carry. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord, I know that Jehovah hath given you the land. Well, how did she know that? And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord, Jehovah, dried up the water of the Red Sea, destroyed the Amorites, and she speaks of Sihon and Og and on. And she says, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. She goes on, because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She's saying, there's really only one God. I mean, I was raised a Canaanite, and we had all these different deities and these false deities, but Jehovah. Jehovah's God. God had done a work in Rahab's heart. She knew that Jehovah had given the land to the Israelites. And she knew that it would certainly be accomplished. She believed in God's sovereignty more than probably 95% of the preachers today. She knew of Jehovah's previous works and the miracles He had accomplished concerning the Israelites. And she realized that God's work and God's will would be accomplished. And as I said, she was a Harshel. Or a Harshel. It shall be done! When God says it, it's going to be done! And all that testimony from a pagan prostitute. Brother, this is only possible by the grace of God. Amen. And if we make light of, you know, Rahab's black background, you know, we make light of the grace of God. And because of what went on to happen in her life and how God would use her subsequently, some folks try to kind of airbrush that kind of stuff. Well, a few weeks ago, we studied where Paul said, Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I think Rahab felt that about herself. I think every true child of God eventually comes to that same feeling, that same realization. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So there we see the marvelous work of God's grace. And then we see Rahab's concern. Well, not just for herself. God gives us concern for others, for our own family. We can't save them. But it's a God-given concern that we have for them and towards them. We can't bring them to the Lord, but our desire should be to see them come to the Lord. And Rahab says in verse 12 there, Joshua 2, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She was concerned about her family. Kind of reminds me of that passage we often read in Nehemiah, you know, where Israel was standing guard there, and they realized he's doing it for your mom and your dad and your wives and your sisters and your brothers. She wasn't motivated by advancing the cause of the evil empire. I don't know why this comes to mind. I don't know what it has to do with anything. But anyway, so there in my truck, I got a bag of hats that I was going to give away. There's a fellow that used to shoot with us all the time and haven't seen him for a while. I figured he'd show up sometime. I was going to give him these hats. their Marine Corps hats. I don't like to kind of, you know, I'm not, yeah, once a Marine, always a Marine, but it's not a good thing so much. I mean, I can't get away from some of that in some ways. But anyway, I don't like wearing these hats around. And I don't like, anyway, I forgot to wear my hat to the range, so I dug one of those out of the bag and wore it and was talking to Gator and some of the other folks. And I said, I don't like that. I said, I hate it when somebody says, someone wants to come up to me and says, thank you for your service. I said, I didn't serve anything but the evil empire. You know what you should be thanked for your service to your family and your home, to your mom and your dad, to your people, like most of the Confederate soldiers fought for. Not for the evil empire. And if you think I'm getting a little bit far foot on some of this stuff, well, bless your heart. But you know, I think it's important. In this day and age, brethren, we need to understand some of these things. Anyway, so I sometimes get to kind of wax an eloquent preaching, call it what you want to, at the range. Some of the guys try to not get me started. But so, of course, after, one of the fellows, of course, has to come up and make a point of saying, thank you for your service, you know, just to try to aggravate me. But that's okay. I think that kind of said he kind of understood where I was coming from. The Lord did a work in her heart, and she was concerned not to advance the Canaanite empire or the almighty Canaanite king and their power, but she was concerned for her own people, as well we should be. And the men answered her, verse 14, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. They gave her assurances, and she got more than any of them expected or would bargain for. Just to skip ahead, you know, this Rahab eventually becomes, and I'll get around to it again, she becomes an ancestress of our Lord and Savior, that's Jesus right. Christ. Amen. She is an ancestress, I think, great-great-grandma of King David. She is grafted into Israel. Right. Initially, she said, just don't kill us all. But God brought forth a whole lot more than that.
That's
what God can do in our lives, if we're willing, by His grace, to do and to stand as He would have us to do. And she becomes an example to us all. She pleads for her own kindred. It's not wrong for us to do that. We know, we understand that only God can save, but we ought to have that desire to see them come to Him, to see them walk with Him. What was John says, there's no greater joy than to know that his children walk with the Lord. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. These are the folks that were, by and large, responsible for the persecution that was coming down on Paul. And a lot of the suffering he endured. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, His people, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. A lot of folks out there got zeal for something, they thank God, but not according to knowledge. That knowledge has to come from Him. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so, again, Rahab makes manifest her true intentions, her inclinations that are God-given by her actions. And we'll read verse 15, wrap it up fairly soon. But then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall. And again, the towns at that time had walls and windows. And she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. And hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, you may go your way. She manifests her inward God-given faith by her outward actions. That's the only way we can manifest them in His life. I mean, God knows our hearts. Sometimes we say we know our hearts, but yeah, not so much. They're deceitfully wicked. Scripture says, who can know them? God does. She demonstrated her faith and confidence. By the way, she related to these spies, to the people of God. And then I'll read just this next passage and we'll go into it in more detail. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by. That scarlet thread runs throughout the scriptures.
That's right.
That scarlet thread that we see in Genesis 3:15, the Proto-Evangel. The God's going to raise up the seed of the woman that's going to crush the serpent's head. Behold, when we come to the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Token of the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only means of salvation. From the beginning until the end. No other way. The blood of bulls and goats can in no way take away sin. Well, I find the story of Rahab fascinating, obviously. I have a hard time getting away from it. But we'll pick up again there. And Lord willing, well, I'll try to finish it next time. I'm on page 5 of like 9 that I've got here in my notes. So, anyway, it took us 3 weeks to get here, but we'll see. Lord knows. God is gracious. God saves sinners. He saves chief sinners like Paul, and chief sinners like Greg, and chief sinners like Rahab, chief sinners like y'all. And we thank Him for His grace and for the privilege to serve Him. It's not always easy. What she did wasn't easy. The Lord calls us to stand and to do right. It wasn't easy. I'm sure in her little human pea brain, she was like, man, I really done it this time. You know. Stand for God. May He give us the grace to do so. We'll take our hymnals this morning. Turn to number 324, Divine Love. 324. You can stand as we sing this out this morning. 324.
Of divine.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Privilege to gather as your people. Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Lord, for your preserved word. We can see those that you used in the past. And Lord, may it be an encouragement to us to live as we ought. To not take the easy route, but to stand for your truth. To acknowledge that we have no king but Christ. We look at how you worked in the life and heart of Rahab. And Lord, what you brought forth in her life. Lord, it amazes us. And Lord, as she testified so clearly of your absolute sovereignty, Lord, help us to rest in that as we ought. And may that bring forth the fruit in our lives that reflect glory to thee. Lord, we pray for all those that need healing and comfort. We thank you again, Lord, for the privilege to serve thee. We pray by your grace we might be faithful. Lord, we thank you for your love that spanned eternity. The people that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Lord, for how you manifest those things as the Spirit gives us life and repentance and faith and brings us to embrace that gospel of our salvation. Father, use your people to your glory. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.